the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Some science to let you know about. You know what? I bet you already knew this about relationships. These researchers have found that you can't make up for being a jerk. Didn't work like that. I mean, maybe over a long period of time, but they tested this new research, Baylor University, you know, the reframing. What they said is that if you say you're married and you're awful one day, you can't just go, well, I'll be nice tomorrow, then I'll make up for it. It doesn't work like that. You have one bad interaction, so you can be nice and then people will forget about it. Mm-hmm. Like that lingering thing is still there. It says the bad interaction tends to trigger a more intense and immediate response. So you can't just go, I'm a jerk, here's some flowers, I'm a jerk, here's some flowers.
Yeah.
Because one wins.
Oh, yeah.
One wins, and the flowers aren't even going to look good after a while. I think we knew that, but I just thought it was interesting. Movie news from over the weekend. Don't know if you saw this, but they have pushed back the Indiana Jones 5 movie.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, they say
they're going to. I didn't know it existed.
Yeah, they're planning on it. Harrison Ford's going to be in it.
Oh, is he Indiana Jones?
Yeah. Well, I don't. Yeah, I mean, he's Indiana Jones.
I mean, but so that's who we're going to be watching, or does he have a son or something that we're going to?
Or great grandson? I don't know. That kind of gets to a point that I was going to make about this was. I don't know how to say this.
Okay. Well,
we might want to, instead of pushing back production, might want to speed it along. It's just a suggestion. Let's go ahead and get this going, guys.
Let's get it in the can.
You know, they're saying 2021. I'm like, let's get her done. It's called the Honesty Cafe. That's where we are right now. They serve burnt toast and coffee. Just two things on the menu. I think it's fantastic.
I'd like to add something because I don't like either of those things.
Five stars on Yelp.
Here I am.
From Sherry and me. Just got to be honest. We like talking to people who listen to the show. Evelyn here with us. Evelyn, so here's a question for you. Just be honest. Mentally, like, where do you see yourself? What age do you picture yourself right now? Just in terms of mentally.
22.
Really? Why would you say that? It's fascinating. You thought of that so quickly.
Because I work with a lot of youth, college kids, and I always think, oh, these are my people. And then they say something like some hashtag or some other thing, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then I look in the mirror, and I'm like, oh, I'm 41.
That's why I don't know.
These aren't my people.
That's the thing I resonate with, even though I'm older, is that 20-year-old sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know why. I'm way older than that, obviously. I'm not trying to be 20. Yeah, you too. Okay.
Mm.
I'm not trying. But there's guys that are just a couple years older than me. I do not understand.
Yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
They think certain movies are hilarious. And I'm dude, I didn't laugh one time. I don't even, I bailed on that.
No Caddyshack, huh?
No Caddyshack.
What would be your movie then?
Napoleon Dynamite.
I love that.
Me too.
Yeah. See, that's why you wonder. But like that transcends age. It's like those are people.
Yes.
Just, and I think we attract those people to listen to our show,
mm-hmm.
regardless of age. So we have some people, some ladies that are 65 that get it, and then some guys that are 12 mm-hmm. or 15.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how my husband and I talk too. Like, we'll talk to the kids. Come get your dinner.
Eat the food.
My tots.
Totally. We do that all the time. That's the same thing in our family. So interesting, they did this study about teenagers who have narcissistic tendencies. Teenagers and narcissism, and they found that it can be good. It can be good because the narcissistic teens tend to become more skilled at certain skills and stuff. I thought, man, and I'm just saying this as somebody who's been a dad of teenagers, right? Like, I had to realize, I don't think my job is skills. Like teaching them skills or helping them be skilled or accomplished or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If they get into a good college, great. If they don't, great. Honestly. But the thing to me was, I get one shot. Here's my thinking. I get one shot to help them shape their character for the rest of their lives. Like, and I always felt like that was my job. I had to remind myself of that. because you can get off track. But like, and they get one shot to have a dad. In my case, like to have a dad, it's like that would do that because everybody else wanted to develop skills over time, be a good marketable, whatever, whatever. Like, but that's not my thing. My ultimate goal isn't skills, it's character. It's so wonderful to do this on a Monday because people are stressed out. That's what we keep reading and stuff. A very stressful day of the week. So we do something called the joke spa because studies have shown that humor helps people relax. So I use humor and people relax. You want to go into the joke spa? This is Amy.
Yeah, I would love that.
Sweet.
That's nice.
Okay, well, lie down here on this special couch thing.
It's not a couch. You have to put them on
What's
a table.
What's it called?
It's a table.
Table.
Yeah.
On a table. Yeah, silly to lie down on a couch. Obviously, we lie down on a table.
So anyway, she's
lying down there, relaxing. Sherry's helping here quietly next to me. And we got the music going. Amy?
Yes.
You feeling already a little more relaxed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
good.
Indeed.
Yeah, good.
All the steamy stuff going on, aroma.
Steamy.
Yeah. And then whatever they do.
You don't put steam in the room.
I don't know what they do.
Okay, okay.
But anyway, I use humor. And so anyway, Amy, you like this as you're lying there with the hot cloth over your eyes, relaxing.
Oh, that's nice.
So here we go. This woman in labor suddenly starts shouting, shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, didn't, can't. And the doctor said, don't worry, those are just contractions.
Well, look at
that. I saw that coming, but I liked that.
You did see it? Oh, shoot.
No, but you still got the laugh.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Pretty good about that.
Pay up front.
Y'all get on out of here. But thank you. This last weekend, they came out with this thing. Maybe you saw it about what Americans are stressed about the most. What is stressing out Americans?
I didn't see that.
Usually job.
Money.
Money is usually up there. It's not job. It's not money. Neither one of those things are what is making Americans anxious, which is like a first. It's the state of the nation. That is the number one thing that is, frankly, not only stressing people out, but actually just plain driving people crazy.
I don't even know what that means, because you would think that would all go back to something, right? So the state of the nation would go back to your job or money, right? What does the state of the nation mean?
We think it's the tension in the news.
Okay.
And all that stuff, and the battles on social media, and the way people go at each other, and we're getting more and more self-righteous and with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it has something to do with it. I bring this up because... you know what? One thing I love about Jesus talking about anxiety and worry is he doesn't put any caveats on it. Like, I'm telling you, don't be anxious, he says. And he doesn't say, unless, I mean, the country's just really out of control.
Right.
Like,
then go ahead.
Because the time he was in was really crazy.
And it got worse, right?
It got worse.
After he died and came back, and then the disciples, the government
sure,
situation.
The temple was burned to the ground.
Right.
And just like all of that stuff is just craziness. But he doesn't put a caveat in there.
Mm-hmm.
So he's allowing us, frankly, to be childlike, even though things are crazy. So I love that. There is no caveat where a lot of us will get stressed out. Like, yeah, I know he said that, but he didn't understand. No, he does understand. Yeah, it kind of hurts, to be honest with you. There's this other show, another radio show. Mentioned this the other day, but been reading about it.
Yes.
It's not. See, I'm Brant.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry is here. We have a podcast called the Brant and Sherry Oddcast.
Yes. Had it for a while.
There's another radio show. It's been around a long time. They started a podcast. The Bob and Sherry Oddcast.
That's correct.
So we have the Brant and Sherry Oddcast. Now there's Brant has been replaced with Bob.
And Sherry's still around. But it's not me. It's another Sherry.
Different Sherry.
Yes.
So I've been, obviously, because I'm a guy, I got this competitive spirit.
Yes.
And so I was reading about Bob.
Oh, Brant.
And I was just hoping I had him. Well, I was hoping, like, I had some advantage over him. It says he went by Skippy and Skip. He hosted a TV show.
Oh, have you ever?
He didn't know.
No, okay.
He enjoys golf.
You don't.
I can't even see well enough to golf. Yeah. Lobster. I'm afraid of lobsters. Vacationing.
You don't get
that. He's a connoisseur of this and that. He's... nominated 9 times for the Marconi Award.
Oh, that's the radio award. And how many times have you been nominated?
Sherry, you know the answer to that. And I think that's what hurts the most.
You're the one doing all the comparing. I told you to let Bob go. Bob. Just let it go.
This Bob, he just gets me. If you just turned on the radio, we were talking about this number one thing that Americans are stressed out about now. It's not work. It's not money situation. It's the state of the nation. People arguing about stuff, how they view each other. I don't have to get into all of it. We all have our news channels and people are pumped up against each other. That's the number one concern. This is really countercultural to talk about, and I don't expect everybody to understand this, but it has to do with what we spend time with, like with how much news we're consuming, how much stuff we're taking in that agrees with us. And there's the very first psalm in the book of Psalms in the Bible where he writes, the first words are, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. For they delight in the Lord. They meditate on it day and night. They're like trees planted by the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." And it's like, you don't get shaken unless you are all, and people are very shaken by the news. Like, you don't get that if you're actually putting your mind on these other things that are God's things. And I know it sounds preachy, but I mean, I've lived this. So I don't mean to, it's true. The more we're spending time with this instead of that, the more we get shaken. Instead of being like, yeah, I've seen it. I know what happens. I know how this ends. I know God's good and he'll still be good long after this is over. The following thing that I'm about to say is going to confuse people. I know it. All right. But I just thought this was kind of cool. They had this article about entrepreneurs. Successful entrepreneurs don't always know what they're doing. Was the headline.
Right.
I was like, yeah, figured. Like, and I can share myself. I don't know what I'm doing. And I tell people that too. And a lot of people are like, well, yeah, we can tell that too. But I think there's something wonderful about that. In like, if you are somebody who follows Jesus with your life, like, you're trusting him and you don't really have the whole big picture. Because I know it seems like a very leadery thing to say. It's like, here's my vision. We're going to chart this out. 5-year, 10-plan, you know, 20-plan. That's against plans. But the idea that we control the future, or we're so visionary, or we've got this and that. Like, how about, I love the idea of just being faithful with today and then seeing what God does with it. And to be sure, for me, I think Sherry would say the same thing. Whatever has happened has been the result of that.
Yeah.
Now, you don't get to take the credit. I can't go 10, 20 years, well, I'm going to be this and that. God did something wonderful. I still don't know what I'm doing. Daily basis, feel totally overmatched by this job. Just being honest. I don't feel up to it. Like, it's too much. But the wonderful thing about that is when good things do come out of it, it's like, well, God, look what you did. Got something to say, but I don't want to come across too harsh or anything.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh, so here good.
Go. I'm about
good. Plow ahead.
I'm about to say something here.
It's been fantastic.
Been sitting in my craw. Mm-hmm. Craw?
I don't even know what a craw is. I've heard people say it, but
is it like a lobster thing? Is there like a?
I'm sure you don't want things sitting in it.
Nope. I want this out of my craw.
Nope.
And this will never make the light of day. It's over.
Just because that I saw it, I should have left the crawl alone.
Well, that should have been fun. Honestly, a statement like you made is funny, and it should be fine.
And nope, because
but it won't because
no,
of
because of fallen human man.
Because of fallen human
because
man.
Because of Adam
because
and Eve.
Because of Adam and Eve.
This break will never work.
It'll never work. See? See what you did? People are really upset about the state of the nation. I saw this survey over the weekend talking about this. And look, I get it. I understand. There's so many political issues that are important and issues. I get it. But you know what happens? I just thought this was really interesting. Saw this over the weekend too. I was studying the human brain. And you don't need to know why.
I was gonna say, let's pause there and think about that.
That's my weekend. You were out boating. Well, I was studying
the brain.
The human brain.
Yes.
You know what happens every time you are proven to be right about something? You get a little hit of dopamine. your brain gets a hit of dopamine.
So it's like a drug.
Which is, it is. Mm-hmm. That's what people get addicted to.
Mm-hmm.
There's addiction to being right. And we love it.
So that's why we will consume media that continues to affirm us.
Right. Over and over and right. over. It's a hit. Okay. It's a hit. It's a hit. I was right. I was right. I was right. See. And literally, it can remap your neural map. I mean, like, we get addicted to being right. We're so self-righteous by nature. Mm. I'm not talking about any particular political persuasion, just humans. That's how we are. But we got to be aware of it because, man, that's what's going to stress you out, too. It's just the constant. You're going to get angrier and angrier at everybody else because you're so right. And they have figured this out. They have figured it out, and they are hitting that button for you every single time, like every 15 seconds about how right you are. Mm-hmm. And one way or the other. And it's not good for us. It's going to stress us out. Hello, podcast people. I need your attention, please, for just a moment. If you don't mind, could you use a favor? Could you do a favor for us? You don't have to if you don't want, obviously. But since we're on the radio and we know this and we've shared this with you before, but consultants and radio experts have told us, you guys sound so odd to people at first that you have to explain it.
Often is what they've said. So often. I know there are a lot of people who think, why do you keep saying that? I got you from the very beginning. Why? But we have had numerous consultants say you have to keep telling people what this show is.
Totally, because you can't have a long process for people before they understand it.
Mm-hmm. Especially on radio when they can tune out
right
so quickly.
Because their first thought is going to be, this is different, and so I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
People tend toward the familiar. In fact, there have been some brilliant studies done about that, about even scribbles or noises or words and. People will go through those and rank whether they like them or not. After they've seen them several times, like, yeah, that's a really cool, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So familiarity breeds that friendship. But we don't get that chance if somebody's listening to the show and instantly goes, that's different. I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they feel threatened.
Right.
So anyway, more information than you wanted right there. But could you consider calling our voicemail thing? It's 855-90-BRANT. So it's 855-90-BRANT, and then it's just leaving a message about why you listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say, hey, my name's Bob. I listen to the show because, or something. And mm-hmm. you don't have to, it doesn't be long at all. Maybe shorter than 30 seconds,
mm-hmm.
but it might be something we can play, and then it's not us saying, hey, you ought to listen because we do this or that. Like, it's somebody who actually listens.
And we ask this specifically of podcast people now because typically people have been here for a while.
Right.
And you have a specific reason why you listen, and you can articulate it well.
Yeah, exactly. We feel like you get it, and you get
like
up, you put up with us.
Yeah.
You've built up a resistance and immunity, if you will. You've been inoculated.
Well, no, there's something about, like, if someone asks me about you,
right.
You're my friend. And so I can, rather than you talk about you, where you would kind of,
like,
you know, try self-deprecate. Yeah, yeah, and everything, I can go on and on about you because I know you and you're my friend. So same kind of thing.
Yeah, but you don't need to go on and on. It's only like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But it's just, hey, I'm, and here's why I listen or whatever. So thanks.
That'd be helpful.
It's embarrassing to ask, but yet it could really help us for with new radio listeners because people are new tuning in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's 855-90-BRANT. Once again, thank you. And if you don't want to do it, it's fine too. So thought it'd be maybe worthwhile to talk about this on the podcast. I'm not sure. But Sherry and I off the air have come to this conclusion repeatedly with, if you deal with people, I try not to deal with any people.
That's nice.
But they are all over this planet.
You can't get away from them.
Yeah.
Escape one, there's another one,
yep,
so on and so on. Yeah.
A couple I like. My wife's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. There's a few Sherry, that you like, but.
Yeah, but then these other ones keep ambling.
Popping up.
Yeah. They're bipedal hominids. People you want to help. People who need help.
Mm-hmm.
But don't really own it. You pretty much have no chance.
Yes.
If they don't really own it.
That's right.
Right? I mean, so you've had people recently like this. I've got people.
Oh, I've made horrible mistakes.
Trying to help people who...
I'm not sure what I battle with, really, honestly, is if I've made it worse.
Huh.
By somehow swooping in there and trying to save someone who, the way I put it is, you're drowning and I'm coming in to try to save you, and you think you're surfing. So you're fighting me every step of the way, and I don't know that I've, you know, I don't know that I've made anything better. But
it's a little more complex than that, because, and to your credit, or like, but usually people, like, yeah, you're right, man. You're right.
Yeah.
I got to stop doing this. Mm-hmm. I got to stop. You know what? That was a lot of times, but then they don't really mean it. You can tell, but you still go down that path
yes.
with them.
Yeah.
But if there's not a complete brokenness,
mm-hmm.
then we're going nowhere. I'm getting a chance to speak for this church in a few weeks called Recovery Church.
Yeah.
In South Florida, and very excited about it. And one reason I'm excited is because, you know, my friends have told me who are part of this, like, everybody there at the end of their rope.
Yeah.
And that's when you start to listen finally. But you know, you gotta be there. You gotta be at the end of your rope, or you're not doing something like that.
Well, and I don't know, like, those of us who are trying to help, because I was just talking to someone the other day, as a matter of fact, we were talking about off the air. I was telling the person, you know, at the end of the day, the prodigal son story, we talk about that all the time, right?
Uh-huh.
He is in the pig pen by himself, and he comes to himself.
Right.
So there is no me walking over in the pig pen. Look at how you look. This is, let me help you. There's a moment that a person, and I think we've all had it, if we're, you know, if you've had that level of brokenness, where you come to you like, okay, this is it. And if that hasn't happened, yeah.
Is that what it, that's actually what it says in the scripture, doesn't
yeah.
it? In Jesus' story, he came to himself.
He came to himself, yes.
That is really significant. He came to himself
mm-hmm.
because I think we're scared of the freedom that God mm-hmm. gives us. So the dad knows what's going on.
Yes.
And our Heavenly Father knows what's going on.
Yes.
And keeps allowing us mm-hmm. to do this. And I think mm-hmm. we're scared of that, extending that sort of thing to friends, family, strangers,
yeah.
allowing them to, if they're not going to recognize they're drowning, I hate this, but that's where you are.
Well, we talk about this story all the time. Again, the father never said a word. Like, in the beginning,
right.
the son is saying, "I will give me this, do this." The father never said, "What are you talking about? Don't you know that?" Because that's okay. And then when he's in the pig pen, he's coming to himself talking about how good the father's house is, how the servants are treated. And then he rehearses this speech in his head of what he's going to say to the father when he comes back. And it's that moment coming back that we can run to people.
Right. This makes a larger point, too, about all of us, like the degree to which, because the thing about Recovery Church, or the idea of it, is I'm at the end of my rope. I don't have a choice. It's this or death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but a lot of us can pretend that's not the case with us,
mm-hmm.
that we're not actually addicted to anything because we don't have one of those major addictions to
yes.
drugs, alcohol, blah, blah, blah,
that's
blah.
Right.
Instead, we're addicted, apparently, according to Jesus, from what I can tell, he's treating us like we're addicts to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're addicts to our own self-righteousness, and it will kill us, and it will condemn us unless we admit that we're going to die unless God changes our heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's that level of desperation. So it is easy for us to talk about that with regard to other people, but it does apply to us. Every church should be a recovery church.
Good point.
I mean, we're all addicts, but I don't think we realize that. So we don't think we're at the end of our rope. We can do it. I can do this good person thing. I'm
yeah.
pulling it off, man.
Or I know. I talk about that in the book when you say, yeah, I know that shows I'm not ready.
Well, in my book, I talk about it.
We're just addicted to ourselves, aren't we, ladies and gentlemen? We're all addicts.
That was just a matter of time.
I know. I was waiting
just
for
like,
it.
Well, anyway,
well,
back to
my
book.
we should have
a debate between your book and my book. But my book says,
however,
I really like how I put it on page 47 of my book, because
page 27 of my
that's
book.
That's awesome. We should do the video like that.
That is, like, yeah, I would like it.
Like, or each hold up, or yeah. like a.
And that's the conversation.
And that's the whole conversation.
Nothing
until
else
it
that.
Gets total chaos.
Yeah.
That would be really funny.
Because you're flipping through the pages.
Yeah, like, I could be interviewing you.
Right.
And then,
oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
I like a split screen, and then I just start talking about my book, and then we talk over each other. This is the creative process here.
We're letting you in on
this. Yeah, you'll see this video, and you'll be like, yeah, I heard him talking about that. It really wasn't that funny.
I was going to say, I didn't think it was funny then, and I don't think it's funny now.
Definitely not funny now.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.